I'm your host, Jenny Worthington, and the following interview is from my series, Giving Animals a Voice, Bridging the Gap Between Human and Animal Consciousness.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to my retreat, Giving Animals a Voice, Bridging the Gap Between Human and Animal Consciousness. I think this is a really great time to be doing this interview. We are right now, it's March, the end of March, and we're dealing with the coronavirus all over the world. And so a lot of people are on lockdown, and which means people are home with their pets, their animal companions, which I think is really probably a great joy for the animals. And it's also a perfect time for everybody to really take some quiet time and pay attention to what your animals are telling you, because they're always communicating with us. I have a super special guest today that is going to be touching on this whole subject of animal communication. Her name is Dawn Brunke. She is an author, an animal communicator, and she is also a dream enthusiast. So she incorporates animal messages from the dreams that we have. She's written 8 books and has created her own animal-oriented tarot deck. And she offers animal communication sessions. So welcome, Dawn. It's so great to have you here. We're talking to Dawn all the way from Maryland to Alaska. So pretty exciting.
Yes, thanks for having me and thanks for the nice introduction. I'm excited to talk to you and everyone.
Me too. So tell us how you got involved in what you do, your animal communication.
Yeah, well, it's one of those stories, kind of twisty-turny, just happened kind of organically, naturally. I've always been really connected with animals, dogs especially. So that was just something in my background. And when I moved to Alaska a little over 20 years ago, I got the job of an editor of a health and wellness magazine. And one of the articles that came on my desk was from a woman in Anchorage who talked to animals. I thought, for reals? Does this happen? So long story short, I interviewed her and was really very impressed with her knowledge and her very down-to-earth practical nature. And she turned me on to a book written by J. Allen Boone in the 1940s or 50s. He didn't call himself an animal communicator, but he definitely connected with animals and was able to communicate with them. And he became kind of a mentor to me, even though he's passed away. And I became really interested in this whole thing of how do people talk to animals? And back at that time, there was maybe, you know, less than 100 of animal communicators in the U.S. And so I reached out to a number of them and started interviewing them, not only for the magazine, but for a few other magazines. I was kind of shopping around some articles just because I thought it was so fascinating. So in the process, I really learned a lot about the techniques people used and how they did it and how it worked. And, you know, basically that became my first book, Animal Voices. But it wasn't until I had an experience myself of really connecting with some animals that it all made total sense to me. You know, when you have an experience of something, then all of that, in a way, all of that talking and all of those interview questions, I think were really good preparation for me. Because I do tend to be a little bit of a skeptical person. I mean, I'm really always interested in different things and things that are kind of outside the norm. But at the same time, I feel like I'm always kind of have my BS meter up and, you know, I'm a little skeptical of things. But most of the people I talked to were so grounded and so matter of fact. And it felt very real to me. It resonated to me as something very real. And, you know, what so many of them said to me is, look, this is something that is very natural to us. It's something our ancestors did. It's something we can tap into. You don't need a special little pill or shot or, you know, magical thing. It's just a matter of, as you said in your introduction, kind of coming home, huh? And quieting down and centering. And that's the way that you open up communication with that small voice within, huh? Which is really how we connect with animals and how we communicate with animals. We connect with animals in many ways, of course, but in terms of communication, in terms of, which is really interesting word, isn't it, communication? I always think the center of it is communing. We're communing with animals, yeah. And we're kind of connecting emotionally, heart-wise, sometimes mind-wise, being-wise, and we allow a flow of communication between us. So that's the long story of how it all started.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah. So what was the personal experience you had of an animal actually communicating with you in a way that brought it into your awareness in a personal way?
Right. It was very unexpected. I was actually working on this book because I had interviewed so many people and just typing away. And I was in a really fluid, you know, you can get into this kind of very zen state when the writing is flowing. And that's where I was. And I happened to turn my head and I have a window right here out of my office. And there was a number of birds in this bush outside of my window. And I think I was just so in the flow. I put my hands in my heart and I felt myself get up and I moved to the window and I said something like, "Hello, little birds," you know, which is very unlike me. But it was just this very natural movement. And as I greeted them, I heard them in my head. And I know that sounds so odd. And that's what so many people, you know, communicators had told me. It's like a voice in my head. And I'm thinking, well, what is that? But it was basically what I connected to or associate with. It's almost like a thought inside your head, but it's not your thought. And it doesn't feel weird or spooky. It's just this perception of a thought from outside of you. And I felt the birds, it felt very natural too. I felt the birds communicating to me and they gave me a very short little message, something, you know, like we trust you or support you. Or it was a very sweet little message. And I felt it, huh? Through my whole being, I felt it. And in my mind, it was translated as words or as a thought. But it was deeper than that. It was just a resonance, a knowing, kind of a knowing. And that was lovely. It lasted a minute or two. And I came back to my desk and then I freaked out a little bit because, you know, it's like then the logical mind comes in like, wait, was that real? Did that happen? Did I make that up? You know, what's going on? So, you know, I like to tell this story in classes because it takes time, I think, for us to kind of take that on and go, yeah, that really isn't so weird. It's just our, you know, kind of our Western paradigm of thinking it's weird that kicks in and distances us from that. So yeah, so that took a little time. And then once that happened, you know, my dog started communicating with me and wild animals did. And I just felt very open and I learned so many different things about how to connect, what worked for me, you know. Everybody does it a little different. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge learning experience. It was a great independent study project that landed.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's almost like they came to support you in your book writing.
Yeah, I think that was a big turning point in that first book where I really internalized that and got the experience. And then I could write from a sense of, you know, personal authority rather than just journalistic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's been my adventure for the last 20 some years.
So after that, then the floodgates kind of opened and...
They did. I would say they opened slowly, you know, because again, I'm a little bit of a... I just like to do things gently, a little at a time. I'm not kind of a big wham person. So, you know, it came slowly and it got integrated. And that's an important part of, you know, communication too, I think, is being able to integrate that and learning how to make sense of what you're getting. And just feeling very centered and balanced with the information you get.
Yeah. And I think the big challenge for a lot of us too, because I have taken animal communication courses myself and just love it. I have a lot of my own animals. And the thing that always pops up is, am I imagining this?
Right.
It's my own voice in my own head. So it must just be me making it up. That kind of things. And also the fact that if it's like a domestic animal that you have, a dog or a cat, and you know them so well, mm-hmm. Is it because you know them so well, or are they actually telling you something that you wouldn't otherwise have thought of?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the answer to this is, which it's just, it's experience. And the more you do this, the more you can distinguish between what's my stuff and what's coming from out there. And sometimes you get information that you couldn't have known, you know, especially if you're reading somebody else's animal or another situation, then it shows later and you're like, that's the proof. Yes, I couldn't have known that. And so you begin to trust yourself more and more and more. It's so interesting, isn't it? A lot of this is really about letting go of self-doubt and trusting ourselves and you know, kind of paying attention to how our intuition works. Mm-hmm. Because at a certain point, you know when you're on and when it's clear and when you're not. You know, and it, you know, that's why I've never liked that phrase, fake it till you make it, because that just doesn't seem true to me. Yeah. You know, no, this isn't about faking it. This is about being real and observing. And that's the way you make it, is by being real with who you are.
Yeah. And I think particularly with this kind of a practice, for sure.
Yeah. And that's where you learn so much about yourself too, don't you? I always feel like people leave workshops going like they've just uncovered another aspect of who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing too, huh?
I think it's amazing. I just think it's the most exciting thing, because I had a similar experience where I heard about an animal communicator through something else I was researching. And I had the same reaction, like, whoa, are you kidding me? This is like real. Because the only animal communicator I knew about was Dr. Doolittle.
Right, right.
And that was from, you know, some fictional stories when I was young.
Yeah.
So it just was such a joyous moment for me to think, wow, this is a real thing that you can actually do. It gives you a different perspective on everything, really.
It really does. It really does. Not only does it open us up to how other animals live, and it gives us the perspective that, you know, our perception of reality is not the only perception of reality. There's many different perceptions of reality, experiences of reality, you know. And I do think also, just kind of alluded to what I said before, by doing this, you become more open to who you are. And I think we become better communicators with other people. I think we become more tolerant and more interested and more kind of heart open, huh? To people who have different views or different perspectives, you know? So it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong lesson we get from animals all the time. Do you have any special moments with an animal that really stands out for you as a real aha moment?
Oh boy. That's like, you know, which is your favorite child, huh? So many. I mean, I think it's ongoing, you know. I think every situation we come to is something that opens us to deeper levels of who we are and what's going on. You know, my thing lately is kind of this multidimensional thing where it's connecting not just to one thing, but to others. And it's almost like a kind of a explosion this way globally, or, well, it is global too. You know, we are in a global exposure right now, but, you know, like I can give you one example of, and this is a little bit off communication. Well, I guess it is. It's confirming, huh? And I may have mentioned this one to you. I was at a workshop. This was, again, probably 20 years ago. It was a long time ago. And I think actually this was before I even knew about animal communication. I was at a workshop and I had been kind of, it was a stayover workshop, huh? So it was in Arizona in this beautiful mountainous area. And I had been real confused the day before, just kind of in this, not in a bad state, but just nothing was making sense, huh? Nothing was gelling or coming together. And I woke up really early the next morning and I walked outside and the sun was coming up, the sunrise. And I was so odd. I was holding a glass of cranberry juice and the sun hit the juice and the light, just this red, incredible light just spread over. And I suddenly understood everything. Like everything of the past day had just, it just gelled and I understood it all. And it was like a, this little mini awakening. And I was like, wow. And I swear, I was like a half a second after that, I'm thinking, is this real? And right then, the dog that lived on the property, his name was Smokey, he was a great big gray dog, he ran up the stairs right to me, and he bopped his nose right into my hand, and he sat down, and he looked at me eye to eye, and he barked three times, very clear, woof, woof, woof. And then he kind of cocked his head, and he ran away. And it was one of those moments where I just felt, that dog was telling you it's real. You know, what more do you want, right? It was just in that, and, you know, maybe on the surface that sounds really odd, but in the moment it was such a confirmation and such a kind of reminder, stay centered and believe what happened to you, because it was, a gift. It was a gift of awakening. And I think animals can come to us in ways as teachers, as messengers, and help support us and remind us, yes, there's amazing confirmations for us whenever we need them. It's just a matter of opening, huh? Mm-hmm. Opening ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so the theme of this retreat is connecting animal consciousness and human consciousness, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you do. That's based on the fact that we're all energy and we're constantly intertwining our energies together. And so do you look at it as sort of like tuning your channel to that animal's energy, like you would tune a radio to a certain...
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Although some people would laugh at us talking about the radio. We're older, so we know what that is.
I haven't even thought of that. Well, they do still have radios in cars, so I think the young generation definitely knows what a radio is.
But yes, I do think that's what that is. And that's more of a specific, you know, when you, how do you tune into a specific animal? And yes, I think it's about matching one's resonance, tuning that channel, focusing in. And it is interesting to me because for me, there's definitely a difference between domestic animals, you know, cats, dogs, guinea pigs, things like that, and the moose, you know, or the bear. The wild animal vibration is just a little different, and different species have different vibrations. You know, the resonance of a bird, an eagle, is going to be very different from the resonance of a cat. And so, and I don't think it's something you have to have a little, you know, magical notebook that says what degree you go. It's just acknowledging that, yeah, we're tuning into this animal and we're kind of focusing on that. And we're looking for the resonance, the vibration, the frequency, whatever, you know, metaphor you want to use in order to connect in a clear way. Yeah.
And is the key to that just getting quiet, just getting really still? And,
you know, for me, it is for me. And I think I'm maybe not the best one to ask about this anymore because now it's just so natural. I can just do it. But when I'm teaching, yes, I'm helping people to get really quiet, let go of the mental chatter, tune in, you know, and some people, everybody does it a little differently. I always like to give people kind of a buffet of tips and techniques. For some people who are visual, you know, you see the animal or you see it in your mind's eye and that's how they do it. Other people do it in different ways. I had one woman in a class, she did it by smell. And I thought, wow, but she would smell like almost get an aura, huh, of the smell of the animal. And that's how she would tune in. Another woman I knew did it where she would close her eyes and she'd almost do this little meditation and she'd invite the animal to sit next to her. And when that happened, then she knew that she was attuned. So we all have different ways of doing it. And I don't know that any one way is better than the other. They're just different. So it's great to know a lot of different techniques kind of to see what works. That's how you tune in. So you find the method that works for you.
Right.
Right.
And we're all capable of doing it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, and it's a matter of practice. I mean, we're all capable of playing the piano, but some people are going to be better than others because they're going to put in the time, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, I do feel like this is sort of a time for Earth where we really need to make that bridge, because we need to start paying attention to how important animals are for the whole health of the earth and for us. And the human population has become so big that we really need to find a way to learn to cohabitate.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I think we've really moved from that, you know, like from the ancient past where there was more of this connection and communication working with nature to this very, it became a very harsh patriarchal power over and mastery over and hierarchy. And we had this, you know, power over nature and things. And I think that is shifting. I mean, thank goodness. I think that is shifting. And we're moving more towards balance, towards understanding how important it is to work with the land and animals and each other, because we are all in this together, huh?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I do think the younger generations that are coming in are much more conscious of taking care of what's here. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be spearheading a whole new movement with that, which is super exciting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much to be learned from each other, and we should be sharing the planet peacefully. So you work with dreams as well.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I love dreams. You know, even from a young child, I was always really fascinated by dreams. And I remember asking my mom, like, you know, why aren't people interested in dreams? Because I've always thought there are these amazing stories you tell yourself at night, and they must serve some function. I mean, I didn't think those thoughts back then, but it was just this amazement that we weren't more, you know, interested in our dreams. And so I've kept a dream journal since, you know, I was a little kid, since 10 years old or so. Yeah, I've always been really fascinated with dreams and how dreams play out and how they connect with one another. And one of the fascinating things about keeping a dream journal is that a lot of times, for myself anyway, I'll have dreams that will connect one to the other, and either they'll be repetitive or they'll be ongoing, huh? And so it's almost like a series, like a little dream series, yeah. of dreams that evolve. And so, yes, I've always been really fascinated with dreams. And just to tie that into animal communication is that I think that is the way a lot of animals kind of open our connection with animals and, mm-hmm. and communication. I remember talking with a dolphin expert, and she said the way that she first got connected to dolphins was through her dreams.
Yeah.
And they came to her, and she had this kind of awakening about dolphins, and it caused her to move to the ocean. And, you know, so I think animals can talk to us in our dreams in ways that don't feel scary, mm-hmm. and help us to open in that way too. So we definitely have dream teachers that are animals, and sometimes they segue, huh, into the waking world, which is really interesting as well.
Yeah. And have you had a certain animal that shows up for you over and over in a dream?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote my whole book, Dreaming with Polar Bears, about an ongoing series of dreams that I had with polar bears. And that was just really a magical opening of connection with polar bears, both in the waking world and in the dream world. Yeah, so that's just a whole adventure. But I do remember my first animal that that was really significant to me was a cat. And I had this dream about a cat that had a little hat, had a little fez, a little Moroccan fez on its head with a little feather. And it was a series of dreams in which the cat would just sit there and look at me. And it would always be the same cat with the same little hat, like my cat in the hat. But it would be in different positions, kind of on a cupboard at times, on top of the refrigerator, in different ways. And it was one of those dreams that I often became lucid in. To be lucid in a dream is to know in the dream that you're dreaming. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I become lucid in the dream. I would know that I had dreamt this dream before. And what was frustrating is I knew that when I woke up, I was going to forget the dream. Uh-huh. So, and when I finally remembered that dream, and I think I am pretty sure it had been over a series of maybe 5 to 6 years. I remembered the dream. And when I woke up, I remembered all of the past dreams, or I don't know if I remembered all of them, but a lot of the past dreams. So I was quick writing in my journal all these dreams, and I saw how they had tied together, and how that later on, then when I got more into animal communication, I realized that was really a profound teaching. That was an animal teacher kind of helping me to wake up at my own pace by developing my consciousness or my link between the dream world and the waking world in such a way that I could bring dreams through. And so that was a very significant dream for me. I think that's actually what allowed that polar bear dream, the polar bear dreams then to happen, because I had done so much work with dreams. And to me, it's just fascinating to look at your dreams and not only interpret them, but also bring the teachings from the dream world into the waking world. So I was trying to, do something in the waking world to make it real or to bring it into more consciousness, because that's what it is. It's about bridging worlds. And in some ways, the bridge between dream world and waking world is the same between, an animal, cat, and or a polar bear and a human. Mm-hmm. And we're bridging worlds is what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a bunny rabbit when I was growing up. I had real rabbits, but this was a dream rabbit who would show up. And I had nightmares all the time. And it would show up when I was in really bad trouble in my dream.
Oh, wow.
And it would be there for me to help me get through. And it stopped when I was in my 30s. And then I was recovering from a bout of cancer in my 40s, and I went to get a therapeutic massage. And the massage therapist said that she had been, she'd noticed this big energy that was sitting on my stomach that was blocking her from treating that area. And she was able to convince it to move away. And when it got up, it was my bunny rabbit.
Wow.
And it jumped off my stomach and ran away. But he showed up again. It was the same bunny rabbit. Yeah, it was amazing. It was so great because he was definitely a protector for me growing up.
Yeah. And so why do you think he was sitting there on your stomach? Was he just like preventing you from opening too quickly, or what was the reason?
I don't know if I remember what I thought at the time, except that maybe he wasn't sure what she was doing, she was doing something helpful or not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and body work too. I mean, I actually used to be a massage therapist, and I'm a big believer in body work and how we can, and that's another bridge, isn't it?
It is.
We can go into our body and wake up certain areas that have been closed down due to trauma or fear, whatever it is, anxiety. And that too is an awakening and an opening. And I agree with you. I think animals do guard certain areas for us and help us and protect us. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What a great story.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I mean, it's just, maybe I should write some of these things down because I have had some pretty cool experiences.
Yeah. In the process of writing them down, a lot of times then you see connections between them, which is really fascinating. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I have a hard time remembering my dreams. So I think that might be a challenge.
Do you write them down in the morning?
I've tried, but I usually don't remember to do it as soon as
get up. There you go. Yeah. it's just a habit is what it is, and once you start doing it, I think something happens too. Once you start doing it and kind of honoring the dreams in that way, you will remember them more.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. For sure. Yeah. I don't know if you, because you're in an area where you have wildlife around you, like the moose, and do you have bears in your area as well? Or stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have just gotten coyotes into our area. About 2 years ago, they came in and I was up in the woods and I looked up and there was a coyote right in front of me, maybe 10 yards away. And we just sat and we looked at each other and I said, welcome to the property. You're totally safe here. But you are not to come down onto the farm and eat any of our animals because we have cats and sheep and all kinds of stuff. And I said, we love having you here. It's perfect, but that's the rule. And we have not had one single problem. So I totally believe that we can set up these, communication systems with them where we can develop a full cohabitation and there can be an understanding between the humans and the animals that works for both.
I do think sometimes, however, we do need to listen to the animals too. Because sometimes it's only, you know, like sometimes people say, well, can't you tell your dog to stop barking? And I'm like, I can tell my child to clean her room, but that does not necessarily mean it'll happen, right? So, you know, communication has, it's communication. It's not orders. It's not, right. So sometimes we do need to listen to the animals too about what they need and what they want. And, but you're right. I mean, I think there are ways to negotiate really peaceful cohabitations and what a better way than just shooting at the coyote, huh? You
know, I totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you have a gift that you'd like to offer the audience. Would you like to tell them about that?
Sure. I'm happy to offer a 20% discount if you would like a animal communication reading. And really what that entails is I'm kind of an interpreter, huh? And so you're online with your animals and we have a three-way conversation. And so normally I charge $75 for that, and I'm giving a 20% discount. So bring it down to, let's bring it down to 60. And you can use that for a tarot reading as well. I usually charge 65 for a tarot reading, but I love doing tarot readings. And I do use, you know, you kind of referenced in the beginning, my deck is, it's called the Animal Wisdom Tarot, and it's more animal based. It's based on the traditional Rider-Waite deck, but it is animal based, and that can be a lot of fun too. So yeah, happy to offer that.
That's so great. Thank you so, so much. I know that, that will mean a lot to everybody listening. Okay, so you have a website, and it is called animalvoices.net. If anybody would like to visit you, and your books are just beautiful. They're beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think it's so impressive when people write books. It seems like so much work, and
it is a little journey for sure.
I think it's amazing. So absolutely, everybody go on Dawn's website and check out the books. They're beautifully illustrated, and it's just a great resource.
Thanks. Yeah, there's a lot of excerpts there if you want to read chapters before you buy. That's great, and there's other things too. So happy to welcome you.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I have loved having you on. Is there anything else that you would like to share before we go?
No. Well, I guess I would say to anybody who just doubts they can do this or thinks that only other people can do it, I would say you can do it too. It's something that is natural, and it's something that opens us up to our own deeper levels and to our connection with animals and each other and the planet. So it's a good thing. And I would just say, you know, welcome everybody to that idea. Even if it's too weird for you, maybe plant it as a little seed, huh? And think about it.
Right. Yeah. And also I think realizing that it's something Indigenous people have been doing for millennia.
Yeah.
I mean, really it's how they worked with the animals to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and an exchange of information between animals and people.
Yeah because we're animals too, technically, right?
That's exactly right, we are. Yeah So I say, next time anybody goes outside, you know, look up at the trees and say hi to the birds that are sitting in there. They know us for sure. They know when we're coming and going, they know what pets we have, they know what our habits are. And I love just saying good morning to them and saying hi when I walk by and waving to the geese when they fly over and wishing them a good trip and things like that. It's just sort of, it opens a whole new social circle.
It does. If you don't like your friends, talk to the animals.
It's so true. I mean, you can go out and you can have a friend immediately.
You can.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you, Dawn.
It's been fun talking with you, too.
Thank you for listening to Hello Animal Talks, hosted by me, Jenny Worthington, production by Stacey Spencer of Going Graphic, sound engineered by Jimmy Richards of Bay Central Media, and music written and performed by Jake Shepard.